Good morning, Lansing. It's Saturday, and the time is 11:06. The pet experts are in the building, and it's time for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. Now, your hosts, Lee Cohen and Rick Pruse.
Welcome, Mid-Michigan Pet Keepers. I'm your host, Lee Cohen, here with co-host Rick Pruse. Welcome back to the show, Rick.
Welcome, Lee. How are you today?
Oh, I'm peachy, Rick. On this week's show, all I can say is llamas, alpacas, and ferrets. Oh, my. I don't know how we came up with this grouping, but we've sure got some interesting animals in and a vet to boot. So what a busy show.
We'll start first with friends of mine out in Williamston that happen to have llamas and a very interesting bed and breakfast.
Yeah, that absolutely was. So that's going to be our first guest. And we have with us Cheryl Topliff, the owner of Topliff's Terra Bed and Breakfast and Llama Farm in Williamston, Michigan. Welcome to the show, Cheryl.
Well, good morning.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you on. When I stepped out earlier this week, I was expecting to see a farm and some llamas and maybe an old-fashioned house. But what you've done out there is just magnificent. The grounds are great. And it was really interesting to watch a small child feeding a llama by hand. How often does that kind of thing happen?
Well, it happens somewhat routinely because we have the bed and breakfast. So our guests, quite often, that's why they come here, is because they're intrigued with the idea of llamas. So they usually make a trip back to the fences to get a llama kiss when they're here. So adults are quite often interacting with the llamas. Periodically, we'll have children come, either schools or sometimes we'll have childcare people bring their children over, but it's quite a common event here at Topliff's Terra.
Well, Cheryl, let me ask the question. What made you think of llamas as the animals to have there as a draw? I mean, how did that whole thing occur?
Well, my husband actually is the animal lover in the house. And so when we bought this property 17 years ago, we had barns and 50 acres, and we started exploring our options. And he was looking at ratites, the ostriches and emus, and he was also looking at llamas and alpacas. So finally, I raised my hand and said, okay, if I'm taking care of animals, I will only do mammals. So we really liked the idea of the llamas and the fiber aspect of them as well. So we just decided to do llamas.
And I would think that llamas wouldn't be a bad idea. I wanted you to tell us a little bit about their clean behavior. I think that's one of the most unusual characteristics I find about llamas, especially owning a pet store. They seem very directive in how they go to the bathroom. So.
Well, they do. They defecate in one area of the pasture, so you can take your guests out and walk around and not feel like, oh, watch where you're stepping, because it's pretty obvious where, you know, where the pasture's clean and where the pasture's not clean.
Well, what a fit of genius back then for you.
Exactly. We didn't even know that, you know. We knew it, but we didn't really think about that as one of the aspects. But
well, tell us more about you guys probably discovered llamas as much as they discovered you. What did you discover about them? How did they become such a integral part of your life? I know I see you at the parades and festivals, and you guys are very active members of any particular llama groups that are in the area. What have you learned over these years?
Well, llamas are really interesting creatures. They're very quiet. They're very peaceful. So just to have them in your back field, you know, there's not any kind of noise that's annoying, for one thing, and they're just beautiful to watch. Plus, we like them artistically because we can use the fiber. My husband has a loom, and he weaves rugs, and I spin and knit, although not as much as I would like to or should. There's actually a whole group of women we've become friends with. We call ourselves the Woolly Women. We all raise llamas and make things with our llama fiber, and you'll see us at different craft shows, and some of them have some of their artwork at the Artisan Circle in Williamston. So were involved in it from the artistic standpoint. My husband is an overgrown 4-H kid. He still likes doing the shows, and he's actually the head of Llama Fest, which is Labor Day weekend. And so we have that interest as well. And then, you know, we sell the llamas, and people will buy them for a variety of reasons, just because they love the animals usually, but also because they can use them to guard their sheep against predators. So, you know, there's just a wide variety of uses for these animals that, you know, some people just think, why do you have these animals? But really there are some practical reasons for having them.
And I imagine, certainly with your bed and breakfast, and I might add that that is an amazing bed and breakfast. If anybody ever wanted to go anywhere in the mid-Michigan area and wanted to find, like, I can't believe this is here in the middle of the fields, you've got that place, that's for sure. So I would imagine when people show up, they may be expecting the llamas, they may not be, but I imagine just having a curious animal that most of us haven't even interacted with must also be kind of a big plus.
Well, it sure has become a draw for us, and we didn't even plan it that way. We liked the animals, and we were planning to do the bed and breakfast, but we didn't really necessarily connect the dots till we started noticing that, you know, we would ask our guests, why did you choose this place? And it was because they were curious about the llamas. And also because there aren't that many B&Bs in the middle of the country, so in the countryside, most of them are in closer to the cities. So, I mean, at night, one of the big things we're doing now is watching fireflies. It's just quite a show in July to see the fireflies, or June and July, to see fireflies coming out of the fields across the way. So.